hear me. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody here tonight that wasn't here this morning? Oh, good to see you. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for what you've got planned. God, we're ready to receive from you. God, the worship put us in a place to want to hear you, to desire to hear you, to desire to be like you and to flow with you. So we thank you. We thank you for what you're going to do in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not one that sees things in the natural. You know, like if you tried to imagine something, I don't see it. I saw something at one place with the worship. I don't know what to do with it, and I can't remember the name, so I need y'all's help. You know in the cartoon Cars? All right, my grandson's now older. I hadn't seen it for 4 or 5 years. You know the real cute guy that was a junk guy that had the old rusty car with the buck teeth? What was his name?
Mater.
Who?
Mater.
Mater. All right. I kept seeing Mater with his big smile. I've never seen him in church, but I saw him. And it was as if God said that there's somebody in here, you see yourself like Mater. You don't see yourself as the elegant car. I don't know what his name was anymore. The fancy red one. Who?
Lightning McQueen.
Oh, Lightning McQueen. Yes. But you see yourself as a Mater. But God said in the kingdom of God, there's all different types of people. And we don't need to covet to be like somebody else's personality. The Spirit of the Lord would say, do not compare yourselves among yourselves. Compare yourself to the Lord Jesus and His purpose and His plan for you. You know, there's people that Mater could minister to that Lightning McQueen couldn't. They would have turned his personality off. But they needed somebody that could laugh, that could be just normal, just human. So whoever that speaks to, God bless you, because you must bring joy into the lives of a lot of people. Hallelujah. This morning, there was one illustration that I didn't give that for some reason God told me to mention. We talked about our self-image and our self-esteem and how different things happen in life that mess up our self-image. And he reminded me of this family that went through a horrible divorce. And there was a little 5-year-old boy in the family that just wept and cried and begged his daddy not to leave, and his daddy left. And he had another woman. And one day the little child came in to his mother and said, I wish I was a girl. I should have been a girl. Well, in our day and time, if you're a Christian parent, you hear that. You want to hear from God then, right then. And she said, honey, why do you say that? And he said, if I had been a girl, daddy wouldn't have left. And she said, oh, honey, that's not the answer. I'm a girl, and daddy still left. And she began to explain that sin had gotten into daddy's heart, and his family was, and God was no longer priority. So we're seeing our young people go wrong directions and get mixed up as to who they are and what they are. You know, my parents didn't expect to have me. My mother had just had a child 2 months before she got pregnant with me. Dad got notice. He was being called overseas right after Pearl Harbor. And God decided it was time for me to come. It was such a shock for Mom. She went into depression. She went into all types of emotions. It lasted for 6 months. And she finally pulled out of it. and they decided they'd have a boy. This is before ultrasound, and some people thought if you could decide. Well, it didn't work. I am every bit girl. But I spent much of my life, they were going to name me Paul. So when they found out it wasn't Paul, they just went, And I became Paula. But I suffered rejection. And that rejection came from that. And many times I'd think, I should be a boy. I should be a boy. And I would try wearing boots and Levi's, and I wasn't a good boy. I hated to step in the mud puddles. I didn't like climbing trees. I fell out of them. I just wasn't a boy. But all my life, I was fighting to be that boy that somehow inside me, I thought Mom and Dad wanted. You see, we can have insecurities that are caused because demonic forces get involved in what goes on, even in the womb. And some people think nothing happens in the womb. Who was the first person to recognize Jesus? The baby in the womb. John the Baptist, the Bible records, leaped in his mother's womb when Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, walked into the room and they heard her voice. That tells us babies are alive and they are very human. So we know that things happen. Well, if I had been born in this day and time, I would have had teachers trying to call me a hymn and trying to convince me to take shots and all of that. But that wasn't what I was wanting. I wasn't thinking sex. When I thought be a boy, I just thought the word, B-O-Y. I didn't go through the mental gymnastics. But one day, when I was in the fifth grade, I won the award for the outstanding scholar of my class. Mom and Dad were so proud of me. And the next day, they got a phone call saying they made a mistake. One of the little boys should have won it. My dad took off work the next day. He worked for the government. And he went to the school and said, we're going to average those grades together. Well, I won. My dad came home and he said to Mom, our girl beat all those boys. And you know, when I heard the tone, I knew I didn't have to be a boy. Amen. My daddy was proud of me, a girl. And I think that if we would begin to pray and say, God, show us what's happening to our young people. What's happening to the kids? And if we as a church begin to minister wholeness to one another, if we can just see in this group life come forth as God ordained it to be. And then when I got to college, they took all these pictures and put it in the annual and put a highlight. And what they wrote was, she enjoys being a girl. And I thought, yes, Lord, I do. I do. I'm so thankful. Because God didn't make a mistake. He didn't make a mistake with any one of us. Every one of us. He didn't make a mistake with our children. You know, he gave us two girls. He confessed the whole time we were going to have a boy on the first one. Didn't work. Had a little girl. I'd saved all my material for every maternity dress I made because I knew it was a girl, but I didn't dare tell him. Let him find out for himself. But now with the second one, he wanted a girl. And God did some work to make him where he would be a good dad for boys and then gave us grandsons. And they both lived with us for a period of time. We've had the privilege of affecting the lives of both girls and boys, but he had to make us whole. sometimes there's things God is doing in the parents where they need whatever it is that they get. God is so good. Well, a few months ago, God gave me a scripture in Song of Solomon where it said to, let's get rid of the foxes that rob the vines. And he so impressed me with the scripture, and I was getting ready to go speak. And so I said, well, Lord, what are you trying to say? And he said, if you have foxes in your life, little foxes, you know, the Bible said little ones, not big ones. The little ones are who come and they get under the vines, apparently, and ruin the roots, eat the grapes. They mess it up. It's little things that we have not dealt with. And for that particular group, the little foxes he told me to deal with were disappointments. And then when I went back to my church, that was such a fantastic day of ministry. The Lord said, okay, let's deal with foxes in your church. And with ours, it was anger. There were people in the church that were dealing with anger, and many times against God. So we dealt with that. Well, today he kept telling me, okay, we're going to take care of some little foxes tonight. And the little fox is guilt. Guilt can mess up our lives. There was a preacher in a church that I would go periodically fly to Madison, Wisconsin, I think was where it was, to speak. And sometimes I would hear from some of the people. They would say, the pastor's wife, well, we don't ever know when she's going to be nice or going to be angry. But she was a sweet lady. I loved her. And I would think, I've never seen that. But when you get two or three people, and I would just always say, well, just guard your heart. Remember, offense is thing that the devil uses to set you up to sin. So you just pray for her that whatever it is, God will deal with. And one day I was teaching up there on shame, and she got in the prayer line. When I taught on shame, I sometimes would have the strongest anointing of any other subject. In Ireland, I could lay hand on people with shame, and they would literally go back three rows on their back in the floor. And one time, one big girl knocked another one down and they both got healed. When shame comes off, it does something awesome. Amen. And shame, when the preacher's wife got in the prayer line, sent her sailing. She wept and she wept and she wept. A month later, I got the most precious letter. Even her husband did not know what was causing the anger. But she had not gotten saved until she was, I guess, late 20s, maybe. She was a very well-known, what do you call it, one of those people on television, like O'Donnell, what do you call her? Anchor, an anchor woman. She was an anchor woman for the news. She was very well known. She did cocaine. She did marijuana. She partied with the elite, so to speak. And she got pregnant. And she had an abortion. And then later, she found Jesus. Wow. And when she found Jesus, she hated her past. She went to Christ for the Nations, went to the mission fields, just couldn't have a baby, though. When she got married, she couldn't have any children. And she ended up adopting, but she picked a handicapped child because she felt like she deserved that. And she also felt like that she could bring hope to that child. But when she wrote the letter, she shared that, and she said, when God set me free of the shame, he set me free to be his servant. And so she became one of the leaders. in the anti-abortion movement up in the north, and God used her mightily. That was her fox. What was hidden? Her husband didn't know. Nobody knew. So they went on a little retreat, and she told him. He's such a beautiful man. He just pulled her in his arms and held her and told her how much he loved her. You know, sometimes people give us a confession, something that has robbed their soul of all hope, all joy. And we have an opportunity to have a response. Can we beat Jesus and don't condemn him and don't say, well, you should have? Don't say anything except, I love you. Amen. Sometimes that's all the person needs, is to know you still accept them, though they're not perfect. So that was the little fox. It was the guilt that was ruining her life. And God set her free of it. Hallelujah. When we have guilt, we cannot believe many times that God would ever use us. We can't believe God would talk to us. People who have guilt very often cannot hear the Holy Spirit. And he's shouting. But because of guilt, why would God talk to me? How could God talk to me? I know me. I know what I did. Oh, people, I've got the most wonderful news. I know what Jesus did. I know that he paid the price. There is good news in the gospel. It's not just you're not going to hell, you're going to heaven. It's you can live a victorious life here on this earth. No matter what the devil has done to you, no matter how he's knocked you down, no matter how he's pushed you around, I got good news. Tomorrow is a new day, and it can begin today. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we don't know what we need. And we listen to what's being preached. And then in the middle of the night, God begins to speak and say, that was you, honey. I love you too. I've forgiven you. And maybe in the middle of the night, we get our freedom that we've been praying for. God doesn't always give me the prophetic as deep as I'd like or as much or for every single person, but you don't have to have me. Amen. You have to have him. Amen. And if your heart is loving Jesus, you're going to hear from him and he's going to tell you. Now, sometimes there's three things that kind of fit in this category and we don't know which. Sometimes we get mixed up. We think it's guilt that we've got to deal with. But sometimes it's a false guilt. A false guilt can be a little fox that keeps our destiny from coming forth. And the third thing would be regret. And we think regret is guilt. And so we're going to look at the three of them. And we're going to believe God if we have such a little fox that we're going to get free today. Would you read with me out of 2 Corinthians? True guilt comes as a result of sin. King David, when he committed adultery, had true sin. And it became worse when he had Bathsheba's wife put to the front so he would be killed, a husband rather, put to the front of the battle, knowing he would be killed. In the eyes of God, he murdered Uriah because he put him there knowing he would be killed. And so to God, that's what it was. That was true guilt. We're going to come back as to how he dealt with it in just a minute, because how we deal with guilt will make a difference in our future. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and let's go with verse 9. The Apostle Paul, first let me tell you, the Apostle Paul had written to the Corinthians. There had been a man in the Corinthian church who was sleeping with his father's wife. And the church wasn't doing anything about it. They all knew it. You let that type of sin be well known and it not be addressed, and you're going to watch other perversions and sins begin to multiply in the church. And so Paul wrote him, he said, have you no shame? Don't you realize that you're allowing this in the house of God and you're not dealing with it properly? And so he talks to them about how to deal with it. And they were so touched that they got on it and they dealt with it as God had directed them. And he said, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, because it got their hearts. He said, but that you sorrowed to repentance. You see, if we recognize what we did wrong and we're just sorry, but there's no repentance, there will be no change. There has got to be a true repentance for what we did that was wrong. Because if we don't have the true repentance, we probably won't change our behavior, you see. Okay, so he goes on to say, for you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. In other words, that we're not going to come and let you have it. And he said, but godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. We see people that steal, for example, when it gets exposed, they're sorry. But if it's worldly sorry, they're only sorry they got caught. There's a difference. When you are a Christian and you stole and you knew you shouldn't and you probably have a guilty conscience over it and it gets revealed, there can be a true sorrow because you realized you gave the devil a place to condemn God, to condemn Christians, to talk about the behavior of a believer. You gave him a place to condemn God, so to speak. Yeah, they believe in God, but they don't live what they preach. They bring a lot of harm. But when you realize that and you're sorry, and there's real repentance, that's when you weep before God. And you just talk to God about what you did. You know, my brother has done a lot of things. He served time in prison. And his sin was one that caused a lot of shame to the family. But this last time he got arrested, it was all for the same thing. Indecent exposure of himself. And this particular time when he was put in jail, he was denying he had done anything. And I went to see him faithfully twice a week in jail. And this one time I came in, he said, Paul, I had this terrible dream. And I said, what did you dream? And he described what I had been told that he had done. And he said, do you think I really did it? And I said, yes, there's good, reliable witnesses. I believe you really did it. And what they said you did is what you dreamed that you did. And that night, he told me later, I got down on my knees and he said, God, I can't remember when I got saved. Paula told me I was saved because she prayed with me. I was his Sunday school teacher. As a little girl, I was teaching the little kids and been a teacher, it seems like, all my life. And he had prayed the sinner's prayer. And he told Jesus, he said, I don't remember doing it. And I certainly hadn't behaved like Jesus is in me. And he said, but God, I would like to be saved. I just don't know if you'd want me now. And the Spirit of God let him know, yes,
amen.
I want you. And so he invited Jesus into his heart. And when I came back the next time, he said, I had my first night's sleep since I've been in prison. He said, Jesus took me, Paula. I am saved. Then at the next time I came back, he said, do you want to know what happened? He said, there was a guy that got arrested and they shot him in the arm because he was trying to run away and they didn't do anything to properly treat him. And so the man's arm had started going numb and he couldn't move it good and he was in a lot of pain. And Carl said, when he told me about it, I said, well, my sister prays for people and they get healed. And she tells me, I can pray for people and they'll get healed. Can I pray for you? And he said, he put his hand to reach toward his shoulder and what to him was like steam began to come out of his hand, went into the man's shoulder, and he was 100% healed. Now, would we have accepted my brother as the person to be used by God to do a miracle? Thank God Jesus isn't us. And he isn't me, and that was my brother. I probably wouldn't have recommended him as the healer, the prayer, either. But I learned. And when he got out of jail one time, he came to our church because his back was hurt sleeping on the jail bed. And my daughter saw him come in with my mother, and they were so embarrassed. They didn't want him anywhere near because when the papers wrote up about him, we were all shamed. I was so thankful my name is now Bert because everybody didn't know that was mine. And he came and was sitting on the third or fourth row with my mother. And I looked out there and I felt the love of God just going out towards him. And without thinking, I said, honey, come here. Jesus wants to heal you. Now, why am I calling him honey? He's probably 50-something and he's not honey. But I practically raised him. I was older, and he was my responsibility. He was honey to me. That's what I called him most of his life. And that's what came out. He never got to me. Before my hands went out, he was in the floor healed. And my oldest daughter just cried. She said, Mama, tonight I saw what love is. She said, you never had to call him honey. Then nobody would have known.
Amen.
But everybody knew that honey sitting next to your mother had to be your brother. God is full of love.
Amen.
To me, my brother's behavior was so despicable. Am I saying it right?
Despicable.
Yeah, a bad word. But God's love was so awesome,
yes.
So great, so big. He loves the Maynards just as much as he loves the, what was the other guy's name?
Lightning
McQueen's. He loves us all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's not how intelligent we are. My brother didn't get oxygen when he was born. He's right at the border of being retarded. But God used him to heal a man who had a bullet still in his arm. God used him to heal. He didn't have to be the doctor. He didn't have to be the intellect. He didn't have to be the one who always did what was right, the goody two shoes. He has never worn those. He just had to give his heart to Jesus. And say, God, you must help me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm going a different direction, so there must be someone in here that you need to know how much God loves you and loves your children. You may have had a child like my brother or a sibling like him, but Jesus died for him just as much as he died for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, 1 John 1:9, God tells us that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us completely and to restore us, and all of our righteousness that He gave us is restored to us. We're made whole. In the Amplified Bible, it says if we freely admit that we have sinned. I find it interesting that the Amplified puts the word freely. Do you know some people admit they're guilty because they're forced to? They have no choice because they're on camera. There's no way they can get out of it. But when we go and kneel before God and confess our sins, it says He is faithful and just, true to His own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins. And in parentheses, it says, He dismisses our lawlessness. Whatever lawless thing we did, in the eyes of God, it is no more. When we go to Him and we repent, and it says He continually cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So let's say you have a sin and it grieves your heart and you've gone before God. He has begun a work within you and He won't stop until you get totally free as you keep going back to it. Father, that's not me. That's not the way I want to be. I want to be like Your Son, Jesus. I don't want anything Jesus went through to be for nothing. When I found out Jesus was the healer, it almost made me want to cry that all those stripes were put on Him and I was 30-something years old and didn't know it and had been through so many surgeries and taken so much medicine and gone through all of this with my health when Jesus had paid the price. With those stripes, He paid the price for everything, every sin that bombards our mind. Jesus paid the price for our mind to be free, to be whole. If we think hateful, murderous thoughts, He paid the price to pull that out of your brain, out of your mind, and cause your mind to think loving, kind, proper, as Jesus thinks. We don't begin to understand what all Jesus has done. It's like I told you in the dream Jesus gave me. That's what He said. I've paid the price to set every prisoner free, but they don't understand. I've already done it. We just have to receive it. Okay, how do we receive it? A big part begins with our mouth. If we're sick, we begin to say, Father, I may have these symptoms, but You have healed me. Your word says You have. I'm going to get in agreement with You. I'm not denying that I twisted my knee and heard a horrible pop, but I'm denying that that issue has no right to stay on my knee. And it's almost 100% well. By tonight, it's even better than it was this morning. Hallelujah. And as we do that with our mouth, we're agreeing with what God says. The power that is invested in the Word of God gets released. Amen. A power, a burst goes out from us and in us and through us. God is doing something awesome. Isn't that exciting? He is doing the work. He's causing us to wake up as the body of Christ. People, it's getting so dark in our nation, in our country, in what we're seeing people do, that if the Christians don't start believing Isaiah 60, verse 1, arise and shine, for your light has come. They may not have the light yet, but we have the light. We have Jesus. And when we rise up and stop being, it's not an apple. I sometimes, the definition I want, just, I don't have it. But we stop being, not caring about it, I guess, kind of dead to things. Apathetic. Yeah, that was the word I wanted. When we stop being apathetic and we get up in the morning, arise and shine, Paula, your light has come. According to Isaiah 61, the glory of the Lord shall rise upon you today. Now let's go forth and bring the kingdom to this world that needs to see it. And that's when you begin to see miracles. God just puts you in a place where somebody's going to have a seizure, and you get to go lay hands on them and see them come out, or someone has a car wreck and you get to run over and lay hands on them and see them come to and be healed. You see, God will set up opportunities if we are believing and allowing that life that's in the Word to be activated. And we activate it through our words. And that's why it's so important what type of words we are speaking. So it says he will dismiss our lawlessness and continually cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everything not in conformity to his will in purpose, thought, and action. That's the Amplified. That's a mouthful, isn't it? And what did we have to do to get that blessing? Confess what we had done. You know, King David went over a year before his heart really realized what he had done. His wife had time because he married her. She had a full 9 months after his sin before she had her baby. He had time. He sinned against God. And so God sends the prophet by to speak to him and to convict his heart. And when he realized the word of that prophet, Nathan, was describing him as God saw him, he fell on his face before God. And he wasn't worried about how many people in the kingdom know what I did. He wasn't worried, oh my gosh, is the preacher going to go tell everybody what I did? All he could say is, God, against you, and you only. Now, some people misunderstand that. It's not against you and you only. We sin against other people when we hurt and we sin and we kill or whatever. Many people are affected. But what he is recognizing is, God, what matters is you're my Father. You've chosen me to be the king, and I have failed you because I sinned against you, against you. And God restored him. There were consequences from his sin, but when he made his confession, and God restored him, the guilt was gone. He could now come back into God's presence and love God and worship God. Well, how do people get a false guilt? We know how David got his guilt. He went out and committed adultery and then murder. But what about a false guilt? We see people who always get in the prayer line every time it's given, and you think, man, they're not doing that over and over, so what in the world's going on? They've got this feeling of guiltiness within them. Well, sometimes, like in a marriage, we can hear a person say, how can you leave me? Well, I see it more when a child grows up and they're to leave the house. And maybe one of the parents really leans on them and they'll say, how can you leave me? Or it's a holiday and the son or the daughter wants to go be with a friend or go do something. And the mother say, How can you leave me? I'll be here all alone and it's a holiday. People, that's control.
Yeah.
That is not good.
Yeah.
And it puts a sense of false guilt. And many times the person goes ahead with their plans, but they can't enjoy what they're doing because of that false guilt from those words. If you realize what someone has done and said to you is guilt, is putting false guilt, you need to break the power of those words. Father, if that was not you, you're not trying to tell me to change my plans, then I thank you to set me free from the power of those words spoken out of a person's soul,
yes,
making soul control on us. When I graduated from high school, I didn't have enough money to go right to college. And God gave me a job back when, you can tell how old I am, back when minimum pay was $1 an hour, I got paid $1.75 an hour. I was getting paid good, and I was only 17 years old. And a lot of people had a real problem with me getting hired for the job and making that money. And one of the first things I did was I went shopping. I had to sew my own clothes all my life, and I wanted a store-bought garment. And they were on sale, like $5 a dress. That really shows my age, right? So I got two really lovely dresses and came home. And I was so proud. I was showing my mother. And she said, you know, I could just never go out and buy two dresses knowing that my sister had nothing. Now, that's a guilt trip.
That is a guilt trip.
I said, well, Mother, if she wasn't smoking her cigarettes, she might have $5 to go buy a dress. And then I felt guilty because I thought I was a little rude to Mother. But y'all, we need to be careful how we talk to our children, how we talk to our spouses, how we talk to anybody, those under us in the church or around us that we influence, because guilt trips are not from God. Sometimes we just need to zip our lip and pray, God, if they need to be wiser with how they spend their money, we trust you to talk to them or to cause them to tune in to Kenneth Copeland and hear him tell them, or somebody. We had a little neighbor girl right after we moved. She'd been my kid's babysitter. She was driving to school, had a car wreck. She was in the hospital unconscious. They could not pull her to consciousness. There was no physical reason why it looked like she was dying. And we had gotten the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the left foot of fellowship from our church. And then God had moved us to another town, but the people from our church called us to tell us about it. And they said, y'all are the only ones we know who believe in praying. And I said, well, we're coming down this weekend. Daniel has to work there. So we'll go to the hospital. Well, we went to the hospital and it was crowded. They were very loved people in the church we came from. And everybody was wanting to get back to see her. And nobody had been able to. But the doctor decided he was going to let everybody go back that night. And we looked at all those people, and we were kind of insecure. We didn't know how many knew we had got booted from our membership. It had been torn up because we were talking in tongues now. So we said to the mom and dad, we'll come back in the morning when there's not so many people here, and we'll go in and we'll pray. And we never prayed for anybody to be healed like that, but we were going to do it. We got down the street, around the curb, and I began to just weep and travail. And Daniel pulled over on the road. I sobbed my heart out before God. And when it finally lifted, we went on. The next morning, I was over at a friend's house waiting on him to get ready to go with me to the hospital. And this handsome man that looks like my angel looks like, that I've seen in my dreams, looked like Cheyenne Bodie. He came to the door, rang the doorbell, and I just walked with my friend to the door, and there he was standing there, so handsome, red Cadillac out in the driveway. And he said, "Can you tell me where this family lives?" And I said, "Well, they used to live one street over, but they just moved on the other side of Oklahoma City." And I said, "But they're at the hospital right now because the daughter was in a car wreck." And he said, "She died last night." She died 30 minutes after we left. Probably when the travail lifted was when she died. And I said, "No, we were up there at the hospital." He said, "Yes, ma'am. She died at 10 o'clock. Well, I called a friend, and I said, "Is she dead?" And the friend said, "She died at midnight." So now two people said she's dead. I called the hospital, and they said she died at 8 o'clock that morning. Well, what we found out was she died at 10. They kept her alive to harvest her. They worked on her until 12 for 2 hours, trying to get her back to life. And then they went to harvest her drugs, her organs, and got through at 8. So she had really died. I had a guilt trip that would not lift up. I felt like I had failed God. I felt like I had failed this neighbor, this precious girl that had been our babysitter. I didn't know if I was ever going to pull out of it. I got so deep in depression. And about 3 months later, I get a letter from the television station that we had helped to get TBN, or one of the channels there in Oklahoma City, and she said, "You've been on my heart, and I feel like God has a word for you." And it was a word that let me know, you keep staying in that state, and you can never do what God has for you to do. Yeah. And the word, I wish I could think of the actual scripture, it literally broke me out of the depression and the guilt that I had been on. You may have friends that have hit a depression and you can't understand why. And if God shows you it's a guilt, then, or a false guilt, like that wasn't my responsibility, or God would have allowed it, or somehow or other, it wasn't my deal. But I took it as if I failed the whole world. But it became a great learning experience in life, and that's what God wants to do, is teach us. I prayed for a young woman that was having violent headaches, and God spoke to me and said, "The headaches are punishment for her failed marriage." Her husband had walked out on her because of other women, not just one, other women. And she had borne a false guilt. If I'd have been more perfect, if I'd have done this, if I'd have done that. And she was having violent headaches. When we broke the power of the false guilt, talked about it, faced it, and saw, you did everything you could to restore this marriage, but you couldn't because he chose to go. The headaches totally stopped. And they had been so violent that medicine was not taking care of them. Okay, the third thing can be regret. And people can think regret is guilt. What is regret? It is sorrow that comes from a mistake. We knew a woman that at 19 years old owned a car and could drive, and all of her friends were in the car, and they were hooping and hollering and having a good time and partying as they went down the street, and she didn't hear a train coming. She's the only one who lived in the car wreck. The regret that she carried, that she lived. kept her on antidepressants. We knew her 30 years later, and she still had not been restored or recovered. Her regret is, if I just hadn't been driving, if I just hadn't been laughing, if I hadn't had the radio on, all these types of regrets, of ifs. And it takes giving it to God and realizing that was a mistake. She didn't deliberately go out to kill her friends or to have a wreck. It was one of those things that happened. And many times you'll see an accident happen and a child will blame themselves. And they'll have this regret all their lives. They'll blame themselves that their sister died. Maybe they yelled at her and got mad at her and she runs out of the house. And then something happens to her in the next day or two. And because they regret how they talked to her the last time, their life just goes on hold. It seems to be destroyed. But God wants to set those people free. And people as the body of Christ, that is a part of the privilege that we have as a living member of the kingdom of God, is taking hold of the hands of somebody and saying, oh, thank you, Jesus. You're setting them free by the anointing right now. And God will use every one of us. I guarantee if God could use my brother to shoot a steam that was like a healing power, there isn't a one of us he wouldn't use. Oh, hallelujah. I just love God. I love his goodness. I love his mercy. I love his generosity, his kindness. I love the fact he's our Father. And he's a good Father. He's a good, good God. So how do we get rid of the real guilt? We face our sin. We acknowledge it. In James, we're told if we confess our sin to one another, that not only do we get forgiveness, but many times we get healing. Many times the sicknesses in our body are related to something that we feel guilty that we did. And maybe we think nobody knows it, but we know it. And there's a self-punishment that we put upon ourselves. James shows us that sometimes we need to confess our sin. And I think you have to be careful who you go to. Sometimes you don't go to Miss Blabbermouth. I mean, if you want the whole world to know, you might as well stand up in front of the whole world and say it. Don't let someone else spread it. That's not the way. But I believe if each of us would pray, God would give us someone that we could go to, and they would pray with us. I was in a prayer line one time, and I was just shocked. I was praying over, I don't remember, soul ties or something. And a young man that I knew was the worship leader came, and when I got to him in the prayer line, he just began to weep. He said, God just told me that I can tell you he had molested his 4-year-old daughter. And I thought, God, why is he telling me? And he said, I know you won't judge me. You will love me and you will pray for me. I don't know how God does it, but he can give us such a compassion for the most ugly person. They're even the perpetrators of horrible things. God loves. God loves. I've had some big sinners in my family, and I've got to lead two of them to Jesus. Because Jesus healed my heart. It's not my place to judge. It's my place to help lead them to wholeness with Jesus, to right standing with Jesus, and then do whatever they need to do that's proper. Yep. Proper. We had a lady get in the prayer line, and I'm going to close with this, but I feel like someone may need to hear it. She had bronchial asthma and pneumonia and was in the hospital. And she had been in there for like a week or 2 weeks. They couldn't get her well. And they finally had let her out of the hospital, but she was not in good shape. And I don't know why I did it, but I told a testimony of somebody who had a physical illness. And the preacher said, "Have you taken money from somebody you shouldn't have taken?" And he said, or that you didn't have permission. He said, "Well, I guess you could say that." He said, "I was in charge of my sister's husband's will, and I worked hard and long to take care of everything, and she wasn't going to pay me anything, and I knew I deserved to be paid, so I just paid myself." And the preacher said, "Do you have that amount of money still in your bank account?" And he said, "Yes." And the preacher said, "If you'll write her a check for that amount of money and give it back to her, take it down right now to the post office, you'll be healed before you get back." And he was. I shared that and just went on down the prayer line. And she began to weep. And the next day she called me and said, "Can I come and see you?" So she came into my office and she said, I need to talk to you." And she said, "You may have to call the police when I get through, but I have to get this taken care of. I'm not going to live if I don't deal with it." She had been extremely poor. Her husband drank up all any extra money. She worked as a maid, a house cleaner, for this rich lady who was old and had all these beautiful jewels. And one day she had all of her rings laying out, and the woman probably didn't have any idea how many she had or whatever she figured. And she picked up one of the rings that was so pretty and tried it on, and she thought, "I'm going to take that home and just look at it this weekend and just dream about what it would be like to have such a nice ring." So she did. And she put it in a sock. So it was hidden. And she was going to bring it back on Monday. Well, she gets a phone call on Monday morning. This old lady got her brain working that weekend and realized her ring was gone. And the only person who'd been in the room was the housekeeper. And she lied and said, "I didn't steal it." And the woman said, "You're fired. You're not ever to step foot in my house again." And she said, "Paula, I can't find the ring anymore. I can't find the sock. But until I said what I said that Sunday night." She went home that night, and apparently she keeps clothes all over the floor. They're her carpet. She kicked a sock, and when she did, she felt something hit her foot. She picked it up, and there is the sock. After a couple of years, I think it had been, like 2 years, there is the sock with the ring in it. And she showed it to me. She said, "I've got to get this right." So I said, "Where is she, the owner of the ring?" She said, "Well, I don't know. They won't answer the phone if I call. And she's in a nursing home somewhere." So I said, "Okay, we're going to do what we can. We're going to find her, and I'm going to go talk to her." So we found her in the nursing home, and when I went, her daughter was there with her, and I brought a paralegal person with me who had typed up a paper that I was going to ask her to sign saying I returned the ring. And I told her, I said, "I'm asking you, please don't ask me how I got this ring. Please don't ask me any details. But if this is your ring, will you receive it back and sign this paper saying I brought it and gave it to you?" Well, she did. So we signed it. She didn't ask me. And I left. And that young woman was totally healed. Wow. The bronchial asthma was healed, and the pneumonia was now gone. So sometimes we have to be willing. She was willing. If she had to go to jail, she was going to do it because she realized she had to be healed. But God was so good.
Amen.
He didn't even make me tell her that she was the one who stole it. They knew it.
Yeah.
But God didn't make me tell it. Now, what I want to ask is, if you have been hit and are being hit in one of the three, a sense of guilt, we can have guilt over something with a family member, something we did in our job, something we failed to do, or whatever. It can be false guilt that you hadn't been able to get free of what mom and dad said or what the boss said. Even though you know it's not true, you feel the guilt. Or it can be regret. If any of these three things are affecting your life now, would you stand up and let me pray? Anybody?
Always takes the first brave one. Stand up.
Okay. If you're free, then now you know what to do with it. And you can be of help to other people. But a lot of Christians belong to the Liars Club, so I'm going to pray anyway. Okay? I was asked to speak to a group of Koreans one time. And I knew God gave me the message. Just like I know tonight, He gave me the message. And nobody stood up for prayer. And God said, you pray anyway.
Yes.
Well, they are a very modest people. And I was in classes at ORU, but my professor had asked me to be the one who did the chapel. So that day, every time I turned around, I felt like I either had to go get a drink or go to the bathroom. I just couldn't sit in class any longer. There would be one of them waiting for me. They'd been praying me out of the room and were coming to me saying, that was me. That was me you prayed for. And one of them told me the most beautiful story. He said he had been feeling so full of guilt because he couldn't pass the class at ORU because his English wasn't good enough. And he said, back in my country, people commit suicide if they can't pass the class.
Wow.
He said, but I went home last night and called my wife and said, but God set me free of all guilt. I'm okay. So Heavenly Father, forgive anyone who refused to stand up, I pray. For God, whenever we confess, and I didn't ask them to confess, just to stand. God, whenever we do, we break the hold that Satan has on us. So I'm asking that every string, every rope, every prison be broken right now. And God, as they go home tonight, I pray if you need to, give them dreams. Cause people to come in their life to make a statement that lets them remember anything that's hidden, God, where they can't understand, why do I feel what I feel? God, I'm asking for wholeness. For God, you're wanting revival. And you're wanting to use the people in this room. So, Father, I thank you for a new freedom, a new release. I break the power of every spirit of shame. Shame, you will loose these people and you will loose them now. I break your power in Jesus' name. Jesus took our shame from us when he hung naked on the cross for every one of us. He bore our shame. And he said, we don't have to be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of my brother anymore because Jesus showed me I didn't do what he did. I'm not guilty. And Jesus bore the shame. Father, may each person become aware of what a mighty thing you did on the cross for each of us. You have set us free. You've borne our guilt. We're forgiven. Oh, hallelujah. Father, you've taken our regrets, the times we wish we had gone, or we wished we had said, I love you, or we wished we had said, I forgive you, and then we never got the chance. They died, or they were gone. Father, I thank you that regrets are being buried right now, removed, and these people are being set free. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And God, we forgive those who tried to put the false guilt on us. Father, I've forgiven my mother. And may everyone in here right now just release those that said those words that robbed the joy that should have been theirs. Set us free, Father. Set us free of every regret. God, we can't undo what happened. I can't undo the morning that lady came across four lanes to hit me head on, and my daughter became diabetic because of it. But God, I'm not guilty. And God, I have given the regret to you. I can't undo it. I was going to your house. God, and the devil will not put it on me. God, may that be the case for each person here. The different things where they think, if I'd have just done different, if I'd have just got over in the other lane, if I'd have just, God, those things happened. And we thank you for your grace, your love, your restoration, and your power. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I've had people come up to me and say, don't you feel guilty that you were driving that morning? I wasn't driving bad. I wasn't doing anything wrong. A lady went into a diabetic coma, lost control of her car, came across four lanes, hit me head on. I'm sorry that it happened. But there's somebody here, you're carrying regrets, and we have to let them go. Now, I'm going to ask Pastor Daniel to come up here with me. And anybody who would like a touch of the anointing, we just want to go through the prayer line and believe God to put an anointing upon you, to release you.
I'm taking my ring off so I don't put a lump on your head.
And I'm going to make him behave, so won't let him get too rough.
Okay, just form a line across here, would you please?
Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I've got to go with my leg. No, I want to go down here and go to the right.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay, I want to come down this end. I'm going to have to hang on to him so I don't move my leg wrong.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Father, we thank you for the anointing upon this young man. Father, may your power flow through him in such a way that even as a young man, he will be a witness and a testimony to the glory of God. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you for your anointing for this one. Thank you for that anointing, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What's holding him up? Catcher? Don't hold him up.
Oh, there's a chair behind him. Hallelujah.
Step forward just a little squeeze.
Okay. Father, we thank you for the anointing for this young lady. Thank you for your power that's going through her now.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank you that the joy of the Lord is her strength.
Oh, glory.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this young man.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you for your love for him and his love for you. I thank you that there is a spiritual growth being released right now, a destiny, a spiritual destiny being birthed, Father, as that growth is coming forth. Hallelujah. 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 There's a few things you've been taught in the past from your youth. God's going to straighten a little bit of it out. It's just a little bit crooked. But he's also going to explode a new revelation of the Word of God. Amen. And you're going to see yourself as a good teacher of the Word of God. Father, thank you for this beautiful lady. Thank you for the anointing that's flowing through her right now. Thank you for the release of everything that the enemies tried to put regret or false guilt upon her for. She is free. She is free. She is free. In whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this precious lady. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the power that's going through her now, Lord. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. No, honey. Let me come behind you if you don't mind. Okay. Thank you, Father, for the anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. New peace. New peace. Hallelujah. 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 Father, thank you for that anointing. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the joy of the Lord to be her strength, God, in Jesus' name. Honey, would it help you if I went first? Is that what you're saying?
God, whatever you need is fine.
Well, either one. Okay, Father, thank you for this gentleman. He's a servant of the Lord. Father, thank you for your blessings for him. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for healing right in this area, Lord. Thank you for the power of the living God to affect his stomach, his intestines, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I love this young lady, and I don't know her. How much more do you love her? Oh, Father, thank you that she, I don't know how to say this, but God calls you a late bloomer. He says you're not behind. It's just your season is different from what other people your age was. But you're okay. You're on target. God's got it all worked out, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So don't let the enemy compare yourselves among yourselves. Okay? There's timing differences for our destinies. So thank you for that anointing, Lord. Thank you for the gifting that's within her. Thank you for the anointing as she ministers to your people. Increase it, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for this lady. Thank you for your anointing. Oh, Lemasia. God's doing healing in your spine, in particular right in this area. Father, I command every nerve to be released, every disc and vertebra to be made whole in the name of Jesus. Father, from the bottoms of her feet, even her toes, everything to be made whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kore siraki kararara imalabaha isaraki korora ikalaha iseraki korora isedidaki kadadra imalabake o the bahaya ishedaraki korora. And the Spirit of the Lord would say to you that the Holy Ghost will pray through you for those things you don't know how to pray. And he says, not everything is everybody's business, but it's yours. And he hears your heart. And the Holy Spirit prays the perfect will of God on different circumstances as you will yield your spirit to him to pray. Hallelujah. I believe God is saying if you would give God 10 to 15 minutes a day to pray in the Spirit, you would see life change, life-changing things take place. Hallelujah. Just
I saw a key right there, like a house key, but it's in the lock position. And God wants to unlock your emotions. You understand what I mean? Your emotions are locked down. Things happen to us. I was locked down like a 12-day clock because of what happened to my family. You know, just alcoholic brothers and wild fighting and all that. God wants to unlock your heart and let emotion flow out of you and into you, okay? So during this time, that's what happened. And worship Jesus, Yeshua and Jesus. Most men can't do that. But just get along with him and begin to worship him. And he's going to soften you and change you. And then everybody will be like happened to me. My Baptist pastor said to Paula, what happened to Daniel? My brother said, what happened to Daniel? Nobody knew what happened to Daniel. I didn't even know. So I asked God, what happened to Daniel? He said, I told you I inhabit the praises of my people. And he said, when you began to worship me, I came and settled upon you. And the demons fled. Yes. And I had a bunch of them. They brought their relatives.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Jesus set you free. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this lady. Thank you for the anointing that's going through her right now. Yeah. Father, thank you to heal the woundedness and the hurts. Mm-hmm. Thank you to strengthen her, God, where she has felt that she'd never make it in this area or that. God, she did an unwise thing. She compared herself to others. Mm-hmm. Father, I thank you to let her see herself as the Bible says she is in Jesus.
Precious and valuable.
Yes, yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for my beautiful sister.
Yes, Jesus.
I thank you for your love for her and her love for you. Mm-hmm. Father, I thank you for the anointing that's going down her right now. Down her. Up and down and back and through. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I ask for the release of the gifts in a dynamic way to begin to flow through her. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I sent you like a watering bucket. You know, those we use in the garden used to use. No, it has a handle on the front. You carry it and you pour. Yeah. God says he's going to use you as a waterer to water his flowers. He's going to cause you to say words of kindness and to cause you to say words of encouragement to people. There's going to be days you just say to someone, you just look so pretty today, and they'll bust out crying. They hadn't been watered in so long. It was more than they could take. But God says he's anointed you to bring the water of God to many people.
But I saw you different. Ha. Huh. I saw you as a bouncing ball, just bouncing all over the place. God said you're an energetic little ever ready bunny rabbit. Mm-hmm. And God said, you have a tremendous energy in you. And God said, a lot of people need that. And you can just grab somebody and just say, oh, you look so lovely today. I'm so happy to see you. And you got all this vibrance and everything. And you don't realize that's the anointing. It's the anointing. Anointing appears in a lot of different ways. Amen. It's not always people falling down under the power. And you're just, you're energetic for life. And for them, and you know, I see your husband nodding, yes, yes, over here. And it's transferable. And God will transfer it out of you to them. Amen?
Thank you, man. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Father, for that anointing. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're God's big boy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not God's baby. Hallelujah. He says, you're my big boy. And you hear my voice more than you begin to realize. And you release my anointing, not just on the drums, but you release it from your person as you come into the room. Know that I am in you, I am with you, and I am proud, says the Lord.
And now, God took a knife, and he said, I'm fixing to open you up, James. And I'm going to reach in, I'm going to pull all that junk that's not the real James. And I'm going to fill you with Jesus. And the old man is going to cease to exist, the one you hate. And God says, you're going to be a glorious, shining light. And everybody's going to love you and want to be around you. Whereas now, they might run from you. You got a bright life future for it. Y'all going to be happy, happy, happy. You're going to be so happy that when God gets through with them. Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for that anointing.
Thank you.
Thank you for your love.
Yes.
Thank you for your restoration for each one of us.
Thank you.
Father, thank you that until the day we step over to heaven, there's a divine purpose. Some days it's to pray. Some days it's to go into our closet where no one knows what transpires. But God, we're changing the world one by one, one prayer at a time. I thank you for the prayer warrior within this woman, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
I heard God say, fall in love with yourself. He says, if I love you, who are you not to love yourself? And he said, get excited about yourself. I'm excited about you. Yeah. Yeah. And it'll change you and change everybody around you. Okay?
Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the anointing that's upon this life. Kola masia dara ki kodora. I ke laba ki kodora. I malaba ki karara. O se dara. Now, I know already whose mom and dad you are. And
I'm his wife.
Yeah, yeah, I know that. But I still hear God saying something that sounds like I'm speaking out of what I know. Here's what he says. New beginnings. New beginnings. And it's new between the two of you, right?
Right.
Yeah, yes. And that's what he's saying. New beginnings. And begin to look for all the different new things that God has for you to do. Don't think of your lives as that's what we did. He said new beginnings. Hallelujah. And that's for you too.
Okay.
And you're going to see some restoration, some strength in your mind even. And you're going to feel it in your eyes and in your body.
Yeah.
Because God says, I've kept you alive for purpose. New beginnings.
God's going to strengthen you. He's going to strengthen your body. And it's going to be a gradual, but it's going to be a process. And you're going to straighten up. And you're going to have physical strength. You're going to have energy. You're going to have mental strength.
Amen.
Doing a work in you. Amen?
Thank you.
Glory to God.
Okay. How are you? Father, I thank you for the anointing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I command healing into her body right now. Father, I ask for the fire of God to go into her body, to go to every cell, every organ, every tissue where healing is needed. Father, I thank you. Jesus paid the price, and the enemy has no right. He can't say, well, you're just getting older. Those things happen. Things go out. God, that may happen in the devil's world, but we're in the kingdom world where Jesus has paid the price. Our youth is renewed as the eagles. We get stronger day by day. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for wholeness. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Walking a little slower right now.
Healing for that knee.
Amen. Yeah. Well, it's beginning to be my feet, too. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing for this precious lady. Thank you, Father, for an eruption like a volcano, Father God, to take place within her, where the gifts just begin to flow so easily and so simply and so accurately. God, she will know when to share and when to just journal and know what your plans are and to pray destiny in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Some things God gives us revelation not because we're to go tell the person or whomever, but journal it because you're going to see things come to pass because of your prayer and the revelation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you here together?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Father, oh, you're not stuck. You're blessed.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for this precious couple.
Yes.
I thank you for your love for them and their love for you. Father, I thank you to do an even greater welding together and uniting of this couple, Father God, that they might project what the blessing of marriage is to a group of people who don't see it.
Yes.
Father, we pray for healing and wholeness in every area they need, and we thank you for it. Thank you for that sweet anointing. There's a sweet anointing. And God, as they sit down to worship you, may they be free to worship together in a new way, where that presence of the Holy Ghost just fills their room. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hello. Father, I thank you for this precious young lady. Thank you for your anointing for her. God, may she just be wildly insane for you and just love you and be so bold to talk about you and to stand up for kingdom purposes, God. God, give her a Holy Ghost boldness anointing, we pray, in Jesus' name. And God, bless her mama. You're her mama?
Yep.
Bless this beautiful mama, Lord. Father, give her your wisdom. We pray for your strength for her, God. We pray for your encouragement, God, where she can hear your word be spoken to her, whispered to her by your sweet Holy Spirit. God, put such a hunger for the word into this mama and daughter, where they can share and enjoy what your word says and see life prosper for the two of them. In Jesus' name.
Praise God.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Father, thank you for this couple. Thank you for your love for them and their love for you. Father, we pray that you plant their feet in such a way that they will begin to grow deep roots into the soil of where you would have them to be, and that they become mightily used by you in the kingdom. Father, I pray that you'll open their hearts to hear the teachings of the Holy Spirit, to hear his voice in a new way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
I don't know exactly what this means, but I just heard new beginnings. Does that mean anything to you?
I've had 47 years of regret not serving God during the times that I've known him. Mm-hmm. And I just regret not doing, be obedient to the Lord. That's mm-hmm. what I need to do.
All right, then. Well, I know what it means then. See, God said, your sins and iniquities I remember no more. He said, as soon as you ask me to forgive you, I forgive me. So that's, you have no past. Your sins and iniquities I remember no more. You have no past. That's why he said new beginnings. He knows your heart, and now you've confessed it publicly, and that doesn't exist anymore. So you've got a new beginning. You got a clean slate.
So the regrets are buried.
New beginnings.
They're buried. This is a new day. It's a new timing. Sometimes people think they miss God when that wasn't the timing.
I want to take your hands. God says, son, I'm going to use you in ways you never dreamed of because I know your heart. And God said, I don't criticize you like you criticize yourself. I don't judge you like you judge yourself. I judge you by your heart. People judge by the outward appearance. God said, I look on your heart. You have true repentance. You have true regret. And God said, I see it. And it's over. It's gone as if it never happened.
Praise you, God.
Your slate with me is clean. And so now God says, begin to think big. Begin to think big. Everything you've thought you wanted to do for me, I put that thought in you. Now begin to write it down and begin to plan. I got a prophecy from somebody that we both know. Said, dream on, dream on, dream on. As big as you want to dream, as long as that's me and thee, it will be. God's going to begin to give you new dreams, new thoughts of what you would like to do for him. Because see, there's an anointing, a revival coming. beyond anything you've ever heard of or dreamed of. And you're going to get to be a part of it. Okay? Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus. Amen.
Father, I thank you for this precious couple. Thank you that you brought him back tonight for your divine purposes.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, I just pray that you begin to baptize them in your Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
That you begin to flow over them and through them, and your words begin to flow out of their mouths. Father, we command every boulder of resistance to be removed. We thank you to open up their hearts, to just allow the Spirit to flow through them in a new way, to bring strength and life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Lay hands on him.
Yeah, okay. I think my feet have swollen. My shoes are hurting.
You want her to stand and hold you?
No, I'm going to take off my shoes, if y'all don't mind. And if you do mind, I'm going to take off my shoes.
Father, I break the power of the spirit of death. Spirit of death.
For some reason,
I'm going to move it out of the way for you.
Okay.
I break your power off this man. I command you death,
yes.
Infirmity.
Yes.
You will loose him right
yes.
now in
Thank
the name
you,
of Jesus.
Lord.
His sins are none of your business. Jesus owns him,
yes.
and you have no right to touch him. I break
yes.
your power, and I
Thank
cancel
you.
Your assignment.
Thank
Spirit
you.
Of death,
Thank
loose
you,
him now. Death wish, loose
Thank
him.
You.
Infirmity, loose him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I speak restoration of life, health, healing,
yes.
vitality, energy into him,
yes.
mentally,
you,
physically,
yes.
and emotionally.
Yes. Amen.
I call him back to life
yes.
in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
I strip
you.
These grave clothes off of him and command
Thank
him
you,
to
Lord.
Fall
Thank
to
you,
the ground.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Newness of life.
Yes.
Vitality, energy, new vision of himself. God,
yes.
this old vision must go. You have to see yourself healed.
Hallelujah.
You understand that? You have to see yourself with energy.
Yes.
It's there, okay?
Yes.
I know what I'm doing, okay?
Yes.
You're going to get better and better. Now, Father, I ask you to put him into a deep healing sleep.
Yes.
And let him wake up refreshed
yes.
and rested
Thank
tomorrow
you,
with
yes.
a new vision.
Thank
Begin
you,
to see
Jesus.
Yourself healthy
yes.
and whole again, okay?
Yes.
The devil's tried to rob things from
yes,
me, but Jesus
yes.
restoring it, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your anointing. Father, she's your servant.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you for restoration of strength, restoration of vision, restoration of anointing. Father, for even no matter what age child we're ministering to, the gifts are available. And the need is there. So thank you for a new anointing, a new release of the gifts, a new strength in her body, God, for the new journey. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you pray over this? My husband is home. He's usually here.
Mm-hmm.
And but he hasn't been feeling well. He's got a fever.
Okay.
But it's something more.
Okay. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the anointing going into this cloth. Father, may it be like an apron of Paul. When it is placed upon him or in his pillow, wherever it goes, Father, we ask for complete healing, complete deliverance in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you.
I break the power, devil, of all your thoughts in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hallelujah. Grandma life. Amen. Father, thank you for the anointing. Thank you for energizing, Father. Thank you for your abilities. And Father, thank you for healing that has to do with her ears. And I don't understand exactly, but I thank you for healing to flow. Father, there'll be no popping. There'll be no ringing. Just healing in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Oh, there's a couple down here, too.
Yeah.
Oh,
Brent,
almost
can we
missed
come over
you.
Here in this open space here so you don't knock all those chairs down in case you go down.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this couple.
Yes,
Jesus. God, you're calling us two by two. Two by two. If ever the world needs to see two that are united in the kingdom, it's now. Father, sometimes it seems like one's a little ahead of the other spiritually, but that's okay. They catch up and then it's reversed. So, Father, we thank you that you are making a team from this couple where they can pray together for people and see your power released and see your anointing come forth, God. And Father, there'll be no jealousy. There'll be no threatening if one is used the most. But the intercessor, God, of the other is just as important. So, Father, we thank you that you're making us teams, and you're doing that with this couple. In Jesus' name. You're both going to have a season where your job is to pray while the other prays. And when the others give in witness. But the person who prays is just as vital as the one who speaks the words. Okay?
And God says she's always been the spiritual one. And you've come trotting along behind. But he said that's all going to change. God said there's going to be an explosion in you. There's going to be a healing, emotional healing in you. There's going to be a hunger in you that you've never known before, you've never experienced before. And out of that hunger, your ministry is going to be birthed to where you'll complement each other. But no longer will she be the only one who hears from God. No longer will she be the only one who knows we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to go here, we need to go there. And you just kind of run along behind her. That's the way it was with us. And then one day, I left her in a cloud of dust. And she said to God, well, God, Daniel's just left me. Why, have you quit using me? Have you put me on the shelf? And she came to me and talked to me about it. I said, honey, you got to be kidding me. You don't think God trained you all these years? He's just catching me up. And I was way behind. I had to have knocked her to see where she is at. God's going to catch you up. Okay?
All right.
He loves you and he's for you. He's with you. He's excited about you. You have a good heart and he's going to use you. Okay?
Amen. What translation of the Bible do you prefer when you read?
King James.
Do you understand it?
Most of the time.
It's okay to read out of other translations sometimes. I had to read my first time through in the New Living Bible to make it because King James was so foreign. But now he's my translation of choice. But I had to get it in a simpler form to get to where I could do it. And it's okay if certain chapters you have to read from a different.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You heard God call you, but you hadn't responded in the way you feel like you should have. God said, let go of the regrets. The call's still there. And he's going to use you. And he's going to use you as a couple. Not just one, but the two of you. And sometimes we can think, but God, I've just messed up too much, or I've gone too long, or whatever. But that's not the way God thinks.
Never.
Or the way he feels. He's going to be sending us out two by two by two. And you're going to be a part of the going out and reaching out, not just in your local church, but in your neighborhood or wherever. When you're out on the work, on the job, and people are going to say, well, just when did you get to talk in this way? Or just don't be intimidated. Just say, Jesus is ever at work within me, and he's changing me. That's your testimony. I'm not the same man I was yesterday. I'm a new man.
Praise
Hallelujah.
So you have a sweetheart. You're a nice guy. I wasn't nice. But you are. You're a nice guy. It's just that you don't know what to do. But God's going to do it all for you. He's going to change you, rearrange you, and she's going to be so excited.
Have you ever preached?
I have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yes, ma'am.
But you don't do it on a regular basis. fairly rarely. Well, you're going to see an increase. You're going to see an increase. The word's going to become alive in a new way, an exciting way.
Especially in the power of God. Mm-hmm. There's a big change in the power of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Are you pastoring right now?
No, ma'am. I travel.
You travel? Uh-huh.
And we work in Nicaragua also.
Kind of missionary
other
type.
Doors open too.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Yeah, well, I see a change in the way you minister and what you minister. So don't think you have to hold on to the old methods of preaching or the old lessons that you had. God's going to give you refreshing things. He'll use some of the old, but you're going to see a new way of presenting the goodness of God and the gospel of God.
You're going to have an experience with God. You're going to meet him in a way you've never met him before, both of you. It's going to change everything. Everything will just change. I mean, nobody that knew you before will know you now. And you won't do anything the way you used to do it. You'll be so immersed in the Holy Spirit, you won't have to think about it. It'll just become
Amen.
Natural.
Amen.
And you'll see
praise
tremendous
God.
Signs, wonders, and miracles.
Praise okay?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, wait just a minute.
Okay.
Tome la baki kodora sidrakia. Ora ki kadadra sadrakia. Ora sidrakia. Kilamaki kodora. Ikalamaka. There's a cry in your heart that says, wherever you lead, Lord, I will follow. Wherever you lead, Lord, I will follow. There will be a requirement of laying down where you think God wants you. And God, I will follow. I will follow. Because where he leads you is where the anointing will be and where the power will be. Hallelujah. And we don't have to be afraid. Whatever he calls us for, he empowers us to do and equips us to do. You're equipped. It's within you already. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
No, okay, I was going to take both your hands.
Okay.
Father, I thank you for this couple. Father, I thank you that they're a backbone wherever they go, that they are a tree that is strong. You're putting their roots down stronger, and God, you prune them ever so often to make them even a fuller tree and a better tree to produce better fruit. And God, we thank you for that. We thank you for new vision and new strength. Father, new ability to stand strong and to undergird others. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you go here? This is your church.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I see you becoming an even stronger tree, someone that can be depended upon, counted upon to be praying, to do whatever is needed or whatever. And in so doing, you see God begin to release you even more to do things day by day by day. Okay.
Do you always come up to help like this?
This is my parents.
I heard God say, when you stepped up here like that, it's very important that you got involved. It's very important that you stepped forward and took a part in what God was doing.
Amen.
And God said, it's going to break things loose in you. Amen? Yeah.
Amen.
You've been on the back pew. And the back pew pretty far back. So far back, you had to have binoculars to see you.
Right.
God's bringing you forth.
Amen.
Amen. Don't worry, no struggle. He's got you covered.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you for strength. Thank you for restoration, Father God. Thank you for new life. New life. In Jesus' name. Thank you for new anointing, Father God, to begin to flow. New vision, in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. A whole lot of news.
God says that you have a lot of love. You love people. You really sincerely do. And he said, there's kind of a hesitancy in you sometimes because you don't want to be too bold and everything. But God said, you don't have to really be bold. People can see the love. I see it. People can see it in you. And God said, sometimes it's just a little hug, you know, good to see you, whatever. But here's the way you learn to release it. When you hug them, relax your body. Here's the seat of your spirit, and the anointing will flow out of you into them. And they may say to you, wow, what happened? What did you just do to me? And you say, oh, just God. You know, but you'll know. It takes practice to learn how to do that. But you just kind of relax and let, because see, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Mm-hmm. And rivers of living waters are supposed to flow out of us, not a trickle that drops at our feet. Amen. And so God's going to cause you to, we had a woman come to our church, and she brought love, and she went around hugging every woman in the church. We don't allow, we didn't allow her to hug men. And she went around hugging all the women in the church, and it just brought life to our church. Brought life. She, just that one woman. Amen. So don't be afraid to give out. Amen. And like Jesus told me one time, Daniel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. Okay?
No, I'm just balancing.
Yeah, I thought you were dragging me towards that chair.
No.
So sit down. Can I borrow that? Is it on?
I need to sit down. My feet.
Okay, I just want to encourage y'all for a second. For 40-something years, God has been talking to me about this revival that's coming. Now everybody and their brother's talking about it. I had people leave our church because they said, he's always talking about this big revival that's coming, and we don't see anything happening. We're leaving. Well, I talk to them to keep the vision in them. You got to have a vision. See, God said, without a vision, my people perish. So when I prophesy to people, I prophesy almost exclusively to their future. Well, it takes time. Number one. Number two, if you don't do what God tells you, you don't have a future. It won't work. But God has spoke to a lot of you tonight. And here's why he spoke the way he spoke. He knows what's coming. And he told me when we stepped on the campus of Rhema Bible Training Center 47 years ago, no, 40, whatever it was, we were looking at the license plates, and God began to speak to me. He said, I have an army of no names and nobodies that the world has never seen, knows nothing about. He said, I have them hid in my churches, and I'm training them and teaching them. And then the days come, and this is all any one of you like being in the full-time ministry right now. He said, the day is going to come when I'm going to pour my glory upon them, and they will travel around the world with signs, wonders, and miracles. And he said, I'll do a quick work and cut it short. Well, I know it's only recently that I understood what he meant there. Dawned on me, if he's got hundreds of thousands of people traveling under this anointing, this mind-boggling all over the world, he's going to gather hundreds of millions, if not billions of people in, then he's going to cut it short. Everybody that can be saved is going to be saved, and then, shoo, the rapture. I'm going to cut it short, and that's going to come. Well, I know some of you by the Spirit. And everybody in here is a nobody, I hate to tell you. And Paul and I, we're better known in Ireland than we're in Wichita Falls, where we live. We're nobodies. But, you know, God told me one time, I know my people want to be used of me, but they don't have the power and the anointing to birth them into it. And that's what this anointing. He told me this anointing is going to be beyond your wildest imagination. I've gotten in a lot of trouble over my imagination. Really wild. He said, you cannot begin to understand and conceive. He said, it's going to make Azusa Street look like child's play. You read books on Azusa Street? It'll blow your cork. It'll make you think, whoa, what world were they? What planet were they on? He said, it'll make it look like child's play. He said, I'm going to do things, and you and Paula are going to step back and look at each other and say, did we just see God do that? We've seen the dead raised in the hospital. Medically certified by the doctors is dead. Medically certified is coming back to life. Okay? One guy had been dead for 45 minutes. We've seen mind-boggling miracles. Yet God said, what you've seen is child's play. Nothing. Uh-oh. Well, I've lost
this
the mic.
This young lady sitting back here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was going to get her, and I forgot about her.
Sometimes we only speak to what we see, and she's been back here. I haven't seen her. You have a future with God that's going to be so good. People ask you sometimes, well, what are you going to do, or who do you go with, or what are you thinking about? Don't be bothered by all their questions, or because you can't give an definitive answer right now. My dad walked up to me one time and said, well, Paula, are you going to get married? I mean, I wasn't yet 21, but everybody else got married at 18. And I said, yeah, Dad. And he said, well, have you found anyone yet? I said, yeah, I'm thinking about bringing him Thanksgiving to meet you. But sometimes people put us on the spot, and it's like God says, you've been put on the spot with some questions that you can't answer just yet. All you know is God loves you, and he has a future for you, and he is working the things in God's timing. God kept me. I don't know anything about your past, but he kept me from doing a lot of dating and everything. He kept me because he had one man for me. And he didn't want me to have to go through three or four to find him. Hallelujah. So God has a plan. He's at work. And you are so loved by our beloved Jesus. Hallelujah.
And I see that you and your sister have designer jeans on tonight.
Praise God. You can have your seat back. And I have to say, before the night's up, I will not leave here with regrets. And so I should have been the first to stand when you said the enemies come against people with regrets and guilt. And if I'd have stood, maybe some more would have stood. So maybe you should revisit that. You want to pray again for that? You know, the Spirit of God doesn't miss a target. And I know this woman good enough that when she says the Holy Ghost is dealing with people about regrets, and nobody stood, she didn't miss God.
No,
did you?
No, I didn't.
So we're just going to go back and revisit that, because I don't want her to go home with regrets thinking, well, did I miss you, God?
No,
she's not going to question that.
I have no regrets. So, I know God, and I know people. So is there anyone you want to stand up right now? Guilt, false guilt, or regrets? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Young lady, you don't know how important it was you stood up. I don't know what your regret was, but it's like you're going to be slung out of a slingshot because you stood. And the young man behind her, you too. Sometimes we don't know why we've been our legs buried in the clay. It's because God knows he wants to set us free. Father, I just release the anointing into every one of these people. Father, I break the power of every spirit of regret, every spirit of guilt, and every spirit of false guilt. Loose them now in Jesus' name. Now, now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. The lady, the first one that I spoke to,
in
the white shirt, you're going to be asked to give your testimony. And I don't know what part of it would have been hard prior, but there's a part of your testimony that's going to set many people free. God doesn't always have us tell every personal thing. I mean, it took me a while before I could share about my brother. But I see people delivered of shame in foreign countries even when I share my brother's story. And you have some stories that you would have preferred everyone not know. But some of them, God is going to let you share. And it's going to bring the house down. It's going to bring the power of God down. So no matter how small the group that you're asked, would you share, would you speak? Take the opportunities unless God pulls your reins. And he's going to increase and increase and increase the anointing upon you. For there's a call. There's a call on you.
Okay, we're going to lay hands on you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Dr. Berg, we're going to release a new anointing into him, okay? All right. Father, the anointing is transferable. And in your name, Jesus, we have nothing to give him, but you do, Holy Spirit. New beginnings. Father, we release new anointings. New anointings. New anointings. Father, new excitement. New acceptance of himself, all rejection of self to go, all disappointment to go, Father God, in the name of Jesus. New life, new life, new life, new excitement, new joy, new peace, new confidence, new confidence. Yes, yes, he's being resurrected right now. Praise God, out of the power of that word, spoken word, out of the power of the mouth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's confessing right now what he wants. Glory to God. New beginnings. New beginnings. You're going to be a new man. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just receive that. You know, Pastor Daniel's always making this statement in our conversations together. And he says, you know, when Jesus steps into a person's life, they don't have a history. And that's true. You know, Saul became Paul. And there's a great movie out if you haven't seen it. Well, it's kind of tough to watch, but it's Paul the Apostle or the Apostle Paul. I forget which, but Jim Caviezel's in it. And in the movie they portray, and I've never thought much about it because it's not much in the Bible about it, but Paul had a lot of regrets. He put some Christians to death. You know, we don't see a lot of details of that, but there's just a few mentions in the book of Acts where it says he imprisoned Christians. And, you know, in those days, you could have had a scratch on your leg, but you go into these dungeons where the rats and the sewage, open sewages, that, you know, that could have been your death. That infection could just kill you. And so he put Christians to death, literally, by putting them in prison. And in this movie, anyways, it portrays the regret that just eating at him, you know, eating at him. And then he gets a sense of God's forgiveness, and it's really beautifully portrayed. But anyways, I just want to encourage you, those that stood for that, that it is true that in Christ we have no past. As far as our former failures, mistakes, sins, we are forgiven, we are cleansed. It's as if today is the first day we've ever lived. Amen? So just step into that by faith. And you have to take it by faith. You take it by faith. You know, the enemy will pound you. If he's pounded you before, if he's made inroads in pounding you with regrets, he knows how to get at you by bringing up those memories. You just tell him it's under the blood. It's under the blood. It's under the blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, I know you've been blessed tonight. Let's all stand together and just give thanks to the Lord for what he's doing in us. Hallelujah. We are his. Amen. All of this is for your purpose and for your glory, Lord. To you be glory. In the church, both now and forevermore, and in Christ Jesus, Father. We thank you that in our lives, as we are transformed and redeemed and renewed and made new, Lord, that you're causing us to come into your purpose, come into alignment with your plan, not just us individually, but as a church, as a collective whole. We are stepping in together into your purposes for the earth, for this season, this place and time in history. And we thank you for it. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of it. We love you and we bless you tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give Dr. Paula a big hand again for her blessing with us? Thank you again, Dr. Paula, for coming. And Pastor Daniel, we're just so blessed that they came down, took the time to be with us. Well, God bless you. Step into a new day. Step into a new week in the Lord Jesus. Be blessed.